many people, I grew up reading the old Peanuts comic strip. Still shows up in many papers in reruns. And as we think about the various characters, Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Lucy, I was always drawn to Linus. Linus seemed to be the one who, at key moments in the strip or in the Christmas special or in other moments, seemed to have the word of wisdom or insight that helped explain the difficult situations. And yet, he was also known for his security blanket. There were times as he carried it around that Snoopy would try to grab it and run off, and you'd see Linus flying behind Snoopy because he wasn't going to let go of that security blanket. It was for him a source of assurance and comfort in the midst of the struggles of life. I think one of the reasons he strikes a chord is many of us had something in our childhood that we held on to for security. I won't ask for confessions. Some of you had a blanket, some had a stuffed animal or more than one. Some had an imaginary friend. You might have had some other things that you turned to when you felt insecure, when you felt worried, something that helped you feel a little bit safer if you had that one thing that you could hold on to. And those blankets or animals or imaginary friends would help get through the scary moments, the moments you might have heard parents arguing, the thunderstorms, the times that you were worried. Now, by the time we become adults, most of us have left our security blankets and things behind. But in a scary world, we still look for places where we can feel secure. We like to find those things, those people, those places that allow us to catch our breath, that allow us to feel safe, because there's a lot in this world that makes us nervous. There's a lot in this world that feels threatening. At an international level, there's so much going on that overwhelms us. And as we've seen and really had brought to the forefront this week, the images from the refugee crisis, and we see the heartbreak, the hurt, the desperation, it hits something deep in our hearts. We look around and we see violence and struggle, and so we hide behind locked doors looking for security. We try to make sure we've got money to live on, and then the stock market bounces around and makes us feel a little less secure and a little less in control. And so we wonder, where do we find security? Where do we find strength? What helps us to relax and know that life can be okay? The world is a scary place. In big levels with war and natural disaster, and even at personal levels. Some of you are concerned about jobs or financial security. Some of you are dealing with health concerns and limitations on what you can do that aren't easy to accept. Some are dealing with grief. Some are dealing with relational conflict. We all have the struggles in life that are trials and difficulties that make us hunger for certainty, hunger for control, hunger to feel like we can manage at least this little bit if we can't fix everything that's going on around us. And so at times we get all eaten up trying to manage things that are beyond control, hungering for some sense of security. If I asked you to make a list this morning of the things that cause you anxiety, that cause you to worry, what would be the things on your list? What are the things that make you feel insecure and worried? And how do you try to handle them? What do you do when you're looking for security? Many of us spend a great deal of time and energy trying to create as much a sense of safety and security as we can. Psalm 46 invites us to remember the ultimate source of hope and security. The Scriptures tell us clearly that the world is a difficult place. The Scriptures tell us the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Scriptures tell us of struggle and darkness and the reality of pain and loss. But pain and loss is never the final word when God speaks. And the Bible doesn't stop in talking about how difficult life is. It invites us in the midst of the struggle to find that God is with us and God can be trusted. Psalm 46 invites us to recognize the reality of danger and struggle, but in the midst of it to find hope in God. Our first hymn today, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, written by Martin Luther in 1529, was based out of this particular psalm, with beautiful, powerful imagery that invites us to reflect on God, who is our protector, our refuge, our strength. Many of you have heard me talk about how this hymn for me was a source of great strength when my mother passed away. As we were preparing to go to her into her funeral and I was supposed to say a few words in a prayer, I was not doing well. And we processed in as a family singing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and I tried to sing it like I believed it. And by the end of the hymn, I did, just to be reminded of God who is a mighty fortress and a protector. Those images came alive in my heart. And I found myself in the midst of a terrible grief, being reminded that I wasn't alone, and was able to speak the words I wanted to speak and find peace even in the midst of grief. How many times in my ministry as I've sat with folks and I've asked them, when have you felt God especially real to you? How often it's the times when life is difficult that we realize we've got to trust in God, and God provides strength in ways that help us walk through the valleys. Therein is the invitation of this beautiful psalm, which provides for us a strong and poetic emphasis on God, who is our refuge and our strength and our protector. Verse 1 sets the tone, telling us God is our refuge and strength. The idea of refuge is a familiar and often used term in the Psalms. An invitation to a safe place where we can trust that God is at work. To take refuge in means to trust. And so this psalm is inviting us to trust in God who is safe, who is a source of strength, who walks with us, protects us, fights for us, even in the midst of the struggles of this world. And this psalm in metaphoric language reminds us that the world is scary. There are three different sections here, and each invite us to reflect on God present in the midst of the struggle. Verses 1 through 3 really invite us to think about the dangers of natural disaster. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Cameron talked about not fearing. Probably the command we find more often than not in Scripture is, do not fear. Knowing that in this world there is fear. But then the psalmist begins to describe the realities of chaos. The mountains falling into the heart of the sea. The waters roaring and foaming, the mountains quake with their surging. In the worldview of the world of that day, mountains served both to anchor dry land to protect it from the waters and to hold up the sky. We know that's not really what mountains do, but in the imagery of that day, to say the mountains quaked and fell into the heart of the sea is the picture of ultimate natural disaster. It's a hurricane and an earthquake all at once. So the imagery here is inviting us to think, even if it feels like the world is falling in, even if it feels like everything is going wrong naturally, even when the world is falling and falling apart, we will not fear, the psalmist says. Can you fathom that statement? We will not fear, even though the earth give way and chaos seems to reign. And yet the psalmist says, we will not fear because God is a refuge, a strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Think about the crises in your life. Think about the times when life has been difficult. Have you sensed God's presence in those valleys? God never promises life is easy, but He promises that He is the Good Shepherd who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we need not live in fear and anxiety. Verses 4 and following sort of pick up and expand the image, this time talking about nations turning against nations. A picture of not this time natural chaos, but political instability. I know we don't have to think too hard to imagine that these days, do we? But it's always been part of human history. God, but even in the midst of it, says God will not, God is within her, she will not fail. Speaking of the city of God, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. We see it day by day, don't we? And yet it's always been part of human history. But even in the midst of political instability, even in the midst of chaos, for me it's a reminder that even in the midst of political rhetoric that makes me depressed some evening when I watch folks calling names and working in ways that pull people apart instead of pushing people towards each other, we're being told there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. An image of God's presence where there is peace. Where God invites us to know that He is at work, that He is with us. That even in the midst of all that we can't control and all that seems so dark, we can find peace in the city of God, in the presence of God. We can know that God is our fortress. Think about ancient castles, ancient buildings that were built to protect the people. Thick walls, safe place from attack. God is our protection and our peace. In the midst of the chaos, there's the peaceful waters of the city of God. In the midst of all that's falling apart around us, there's a reminder that God is our fortress and our strength, our source of peace. That God, even as He allows the chaos, cares for His people. The Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, is an image of the Lord of the armies, a picture of God who protects us, fights for us, cares for us, looks out for our best interests. And in verses 8 through 11, he builds on this confidence with two invitations to God's people in the midst of the struggles of the world. Come and see what the Lord has done. I read that and I'm reminded of Philip's invitation to Nathanael in John 1:46. Come and see, we've met the Messiah. Come see for yourself what God has done. With this invitation, the psalmist invites us, even in the midst of the struggle, to step back and notice how God is working. To set apart time every day to think, how have I seen God at work today? To recognize that many bad things are happening. But when we pay attention, when we come and see, we discover that God is present, that God is working, that God indeed is fulfilling the promise of Romans 8, that that He will work all things together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. We have no promise that life is easy. But we are promised that we're not alone. That we, in the midst of it, come and see, pay attention to what God is doing. And then we're told in that beautiful invitation of Scripture, be still and know that I am God. To step back, to stop running crazy, running full speed, to stop trying to control everything and fix things out of our own abilities, and to rest in God's presence, to be still and be reminded that God is at work, that God is active. I don't know about you, but it is often hard for me to turn off the movement in my mind, the need to try to control things. It's often difficult to let go of all the anxieties, even to leave town to get away for a few days. Most of us struggle to be still and turn off all that churns within us and makes us anxious. But God says, be still. Put down your weapons. Put down your need to control. And rest in my presence. In the midst of the struggle, stop. Pay attention to what God is doing. Be still and let God speak to us in His still, small voice. This is not an easy task because we're so bad at turning off all the voices in our heads and all the things demanding our time. And it takes discipline and it takes work. But what if we spent time every day reflecting on how we've seen God at work? What if we spent time every day being still and listening for God's voice? What if we left our cell phones away sometimes? Says the one who used mine half of the time I've been away at the beach for a few days. What if we learn and practice listening for God's voice, being still in God's presence? How might that affect our ability to relax and discover that God is with us even in the most difficult of times? We've seen a picture of it, I think, in recent weeks. Jimmy Carter's been in the news again with the revealing of a cancer diagnosis. To me, Jimmy Carter is a, whatever you thought politically of him, whatever you thought of him as a president, he is a picture for me of what faith looks like in this world. Investing in working for peace, building homes, caring for the poor, trying to eradicate disease, teaching Sunday school, living a faith that guides him to make a difference. And in the wake of his diagnosis, he had a press conference recently, answering questions, and in the midst of it, saying, I am perfectly at ease with whatever comes. Here he is facing the news none of us want. Sitting before a group of reporters and in many ways a nation and a world, saying, I'm perfectly at ease with whatever comes. And back he went to teach Sunday school, to share God's word, to share his heart, to be an encouragement to others. A few years back, he was writing about how his Christian faith has provided the necessary stability. Come to think of it, stability is not exactly the right word, because to have faith in something is an inducement not to dormancy, but to action. To me, faith is not just a noun, but also a verb. And I'm convinced that part of the reason he can sit in front of folks as he deals with a diagnosis and say, I'm perfectly at ease with whatever comes, is because through his life, he has sought his God through Jesus. And he has found God faithful. And so he can face the rough times with faith. Now, there are times in all of our lives where we kind of wander away until something scares us, something difficult comes, and we come running back when we need God's help. And God hears us in those times. But Psalm 46 isn't just a call to come running when we need help, but it's calling us to live day by day with trust in God, so that when the mountains fall into the sea and the nations are in uproar, we have a relationship already where we're attuned to God and aware of God's voice. It's not enough simply to come running when we get in trouble, but we're called to know that God is faithful, to seek Him, to come and see, to be still, so that when the crises come, we discover that He's been with us all along. I remember a man named Joe Boutwell in my church in Atlanta. Joe was early 80s, had been a professor, smart, deep man of faith. I went to see him in the hospital when he was facing brain surgery for a tumor in his brain. And I remember talking to him, and he was sharing his faith with me. It was a surgery that was risky and no guarantees of how it would turn out. And I said, Joe, are you anxious? And he says, well, as I see it, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So why should I worry? In essence, he said, if I live, Christ is with me. And if I don't, I'm in the real presence of God. I think about Joe a lot. I'm not sure I'm all the way to that level of trust. But Joe Boutwell knew. Jimmy Carter knows. Many of you know. Many of you have experienced. The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Our strength and our hope for life lie not in our own abilities, but in God, who has sent His Son Jesus, who allowed His Son to die on a cross to remind us that Good Friday is never the end of God's story. For the darkness of the cross always opens the door to the light of resurrection. The trials of life become opportunities to discover that God is faithful. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. So come and see the goodness of God, and let us learn to be still and know that He is God. Will you pray with me? We thank You for the many wonderful promises of Scripture, and the assurance that You are with us. Help us to hear Your voice today, reminding us of Your presence. Help us to trust You more fully, to seek You more faithfully. Help us to come and see Your goodness and learn to be still in Your presence, that we might be nourished and strengthened for life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.